It is a privilege to be together again. I too appreciated that song, thinking about being clay and being molded into what God would have us to be. And a week ago, I ordered a shirt that was one size too big, and I couldn't help but think about it, wearing it and singing that song. When God has you in a place that you feel you hardly fit, go ahead and wear it. You will not regret it, and you will not look back with any regrets. Serve where you are called. Give what God has given to you. Also appreciated Kevin's devotional and the thought of what is my life giving out? What is coming forth from my life? I was sitting here and thinking about my topic and title, and I had to change mid-service. I titled my message, Giving as We Have Received. And then as I thought about it, that's kind of a faulty title, because many of us have been given things that we haven't received well. And so I want to change my title to Giving as We Have Been Given. I hope that makes sense and it's not my rambling. I invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. I'll read 12 through 17. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So this morning, as we think about giving, I want this to be in the forefront. Am I giving things that are mine? Are they ours, or where did they come from in the first place? And I want to think about it in a broad sense this morning. But when I mention giving, what kind or type of giving immediately comes to your mind? We're all human here.
Money.
You don't need to worry. I'm not here to figure out how much of your check you should be giving in the offering. But rather, I want to ask three questions this morning to help us consider this morning. And I want to, while money may come up in our topic, it is a part of a Christian's giving. I want to look at three main points. Thank you. What do I give? How do I give? And why do I give? And it's not going to be possible to cover all three of these aspects this morning. Someone could probably explain them lots better, but I want to skim the surface on those three points this morning. Okay, back to the thought of money. Why is that the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of giving? Is that really the most important thing that you and I have to offer? I'd like to compare it to Old Testament sacrifice just a little bit. While giving money is necessary, I think it's right to say that it's only symbolic of where our heart is in the broader picture of giving. So money itself, while not to be despised, is not the true essence of giving. You can turn with me to Psalms 40, chapter 40, verse 6. I'll read 6 through 10. Psalms chapter 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. This is Old Testament, where they were required sacrifice. But he's saying that's not really what God wants. I believe what it's saying here is that God is not after your stuff or your money. He doesn't need your stuff, my stuff. He's after something much more valuable. You don't need to turn there, but Romans 12:1 talks about giving ourselves a living sacrifice. I'm going to turn to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Are we tempted sometimes to raise a prayer, say a prayer, in the place of obedience? As it says here, it's better to obey than to hearken or than to sacrifice the fat of rams. One of my favorite verses is Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. This doesn't say anything about money or sacrifice. Sacrifices. I think what this boils down to is that what I have or what I think I possess is not really mine in a consistent and controllable way. Let me explain just a little. If you drive down the road tomorrow and have an accident with the wrong person, insurance isn't gonna protect what we have. Nothing, an LLC won't protect what we have. So in a sense, God is looking for the things that I believe we have more control over, if that makes sense. We don't have as much control over our finances as we think we do, or our possessions. It's not really mine. It could be gone tomorrow. I have three things here that I deem more valuable, and that you and I probably have more control over than our finances. And I want to make it clear that I'm talking to myself here this morning. I feel like these are areas that I struggle greatly with. Number one is our time. Number two is our heart. And number three is our passion. What God wants and what I should be giving to others is our time. It's easier and more convenient, and I'm sure we've all seen this, to throw finances at a problem that actually need our time. Think about it. When I see a need and it looks on the outside like a financial need, and in the goodness of our heart, we want to throw some money at it. We want to help. That money can be, in this day and age, can be earned back fairly quickly. Does it really affect us? But if I'm going to give my time to a need, I'm very quickly going to become more involved in solving the actual problem. This leads me to the second thing, is to give our heart. I'm talking about giving a heart that comes with ears that listen to understand rather than listening to answer. Listening to understand rather than listening to answer. A heart of compassion that at least tries to understand the need. I'm not saying we will every time, but at least try. A heart that is courageous enough to speak directly and kindly to the need. When I think of giving our hearts to a need, it also means that when we're not appreciated and when we feel pushed to the side when trying to help, when trying to give, that's probably when we're needed the most. So keep on giving. Unless it's made very clear. Number three, give of our passion. What makes you come alive? What gets you out of bed? Is it something that can be shared with others? Or is it something that I'm just fired up about and benefits myself and my future? Thinking about us all having differing gifts and being passionate about different things, I think it's good that we're not all inspired about the same thing and that we can We can build on each other. But to see you inspired about something that I may never consider doing, I'm talking spiritual things here, brings inspiration to a group. Whether it's something I've thought about or not. To see a brother or sister inspired should have a ripple effect on all of us and cause us to be inspired about God and His kingdom. Part of my burden this morning is, it's for myself first, as I mentioned, but also for you all, that it is easy to hear of a need or a struggle, but are we willing? And I want to add, and even hear a person out, give them a listening ear, but are we willing to give time and energy into a solution? Here's where I feel like, for myself, I falter. Are we willing to give time and energy to a solution? Will we be there to provide accountability? Do we invite others to share their burdens? Do they know we are a place they can share? Can they tell we want to hear, to help, or just to know? Are we willing to say things that need said, even if it makes us unappreciated and less popular? If we're going to be effective in giving what we have been given, we're going to need to be willing to do like Jesus did and get down in the trenches. He came to seek and save the lost and the needy. Not always the comfortable to be around. Are we there? Are we willing? I feel that there is quite a mission field right here in our church. There's a need right here for more discipling, more walking together, doing life together. I don't know how that could come to pass, but, and I know it gets more challenging as the size of church grows. But there's a need here to do more walking together and being more involved with each other's lives. Are we willing to grow and to stretch ourselves to do things we're not comfortable doing so that we can free up someone else where they may be more needed? Moving on here. Do we judge others giving by our ability, by our own ability to give, or our own comfort level where we feel most comfortable giving? Do we judge others when they give differently? Let's promote giving. Let's not squash giving. This kind of goes along with the idea of not everybody having the same gift. Some have the gift of teaching. Some have the gift of preaching. Some have the gift of listening. And quite honestly, some have the gift of money. Does that mean that we should all give equally? when we put money in the offering, should we all give the exact amount? I don't believe so. We should all exercise the gift that God has given. And as I said earlier, be willing to get out of our comfort zone and exercise a new gift. When we study to share, will we all do it the same way? Or does God sometimes give someone an area to serve? One brother an area and another brother another area to serve. Should I be critical of the time or money that you invest to help others if it's different from what I do or what I'm able to do? And I say this, and I want to say it again, that we should be willing to exercise where we're not comfortable. But exercise, by all means, your natural gifts. Ecclesiastes 11, you can turn there with me to Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, I'll read through 6. I want to draw some rules for giving out of this. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1 to 6. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall come upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. They empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree falleth towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is in the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Okay, so out of these 6 verses, I want to look at some rules for giving. Verse 1, cast thy bread upon the water. When I think of casting, I think of just carelessly throwing our food out. Just throwing it out without keeping record of what we're throwing or how much we have left. Taking this in a literal sense, if you saw me down at the Colorado River just throwing food out onto the river, you'd surely think I had come a little unhinged, wouldn't you? What is the benefit of casting food onto the water? I think what he's saying here is give what you already have in your hand. Don't wait till you have what you think is great or what you think people need, but give what you already have and give without keeping record of the time you've spent or the money you've spent helping someone. Don't keep a deposit slip. Give what you have been given. It's taking what I have a limited amount of and could potentially use for myself and share it with the people that I'm going through life with that are in need. Another thing from this verse. Thinking about, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay, so when we think about casting our bread upon the water, sometimes, let's just say it, it's going to be of no effect. And let's not allow that to discourage us. But sometimes it's going to seem as beneficial as thinking of this in a literal sense. It's going to seem as beneficial as throwing your food out on the water. Does that minimize the need that is at hand? Does that minimize what God has given you to help with? No. We all have a responsibility, regardless of how it's received. We want to see results. That's human nature. We want to... When you write a check, you want to get something in return. If I buy a cow at Loma, I want that specific cow that I wrote a check for, not some random cow. We want to see results. And this thing of casting what God has given us is a choice. On our part, to give with no strings attached. We don't know what results will come out of our giving. And we'll touch on this a little more, what God, and later, what God can do with what we feel is nothing, or sometimes maybe what we feel is great, what God can actually do with is far above what we would imagine. It also says in this verse that it'll return to us after many days. What is many days? Is it in this life, or is it in the next life? We don't know, or I don't know. So if we're keeping tally of what we're giving and time and keeping track of the resources that we have given in the last year, I don't think that's truly giving. Is that fair to say? So again, rule number one is to give what you have in your hand. Rule number two is give today. If you don't give now, you probably won't give later. Because none of us know what our future holds, nor do we have the guarantee that we'll have the ability, the same ability that we have today. So give, I'm sorry, the same ability tomorrow that we have today. Just as sure as the clouds are full of rain, and they will empty themselves, I think what it's saying here, if you're not giving now, the way you're living currently is typically the way we will continue. I want to add, of course, there is repentance and there is change. But in a general sense, the way we are giving today is the way we'll give tomorrow, unless we have a heart change. Just as sure as the tree falls, the place where it lands, that's where it'll be tomorrow. It's kind of like you going out and seeing that tree laying in your backyard. Let's say it's on the east side of your propane tank this morning. And then you go out in the evening and it's on the west side of your propane tank in the evening. Wouldn't you question your sanity, or if you had seen right, if that's the way it was? And I think just the same way, we should question ourselves or our sanity if we say that we're going to do down the road something, but are making no efforts in that direction. We're not suddenly going to become aware of needs tomorrow if we're missing the needs of today. What you see today, what you will likely see tomorrow. Rule number three, jumping down to verse 4. I'm going to talk to the farmers a little bit here. You know, there's really never a perfect time to give or help in a need, is there? There's always something. We're going through a hard time ourselves, or on and on the list goes. Looking at verse 4 here, the farmer that waits to sow seed or fertilize until the wind and the rain are perfect probably won't get it done. There's just never that perfect time to get out of our comfort zone. At least for myself. As it says in verse 4 here, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And so a farmer that looks at the clouds before he cuts hay, unless you live here on the West Slope, won't cut his hay, because if you can't find a cloud in the sky, you probably are going to sit there until you do find one. I think that's human nature. The end result is the hay never gets cut, or the person never gets encouraged. And it's the same for all of us. When we wait for perfect opportunities, for perfect circumstances, as I said before, or it's till it's convenient, or till others, we think others deserve it, it probably won't happen. I'm not trying to discourage you by this. I'm just sharing from my heart my tendencies that I would like to overcome. Rule number 4, give as you have been given. And I meant to ask this at the beginning and I forgot, but is it possible that you and I can receive a gift and not be changed? Is it possible that we can receive a gift and not be changed? Has God withheld anything from you? Has He neglected anything that you really need? Has He asked you or I to prove ourselves before He gives His best? That we have to meet a certain standard? And I'm thinking of salvation here. Did we have to meet a standard before He offered His best to us? You don't need to turn there, but in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it talks about while we were yet sinners, while we didn't deserve anything, he died for us. He gave everything. He gave his best while we were at our worst. Was there any logical reason for him to give his best at our worst? And when we think about giving to others, whatever it is, are we able to help people when maybe we don't feel they deserve it? Or maybe it's hard to give. Let's remember what we were given. 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 11. Now here's the thought of what God can do when we offer what is seemingly small, what we feel is nothing and won't make a difference. I want to encourage us to go ahead and share. Because the way you look at it and the way God sees it could be largely different. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath, every man as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. There in verse 11. I just like that picture of God taking what little we have, if we are willing to share it, and making something great. Multiplying the seed to the sower and bread for the food and increasing the fruits of righteousness. So, here my last point. Why we give. The first thing I have is it turns our focus off of ourselves to the need of others, the needs of others, helping us to follow Christ's example in selflessness. So, you heard right. Giving helps us while we help others. If you're struggling with selfishness, think about somebody else and what they're going through and the needs that they have. It'll help you. And again, I want to ask this question: can you receive a gift and remain unchanged? I would say You cannot. That is impossible. If I receive a gift and it doesn't affect me in its intended way, I will become a worse person. I share this. This is my opinion, so I stand to be corrected. But I don't feel that you can receive a gift, be it salvation or whatever in life, and remain unchanged. It will affect you some way. For those of us who understand salvation, and we say that we've accepted that gift, and we find ourselves growing cold in the Christian walk, and not living a changed life that the Word subscribes, not willing to fill the spot that God has called us to, I don't think, I'm sorry, we're not what we think we are. This gift, the greatest gift, will change us. I understand we all go through times, low times in life. But as a general rule, if we don't have anything to say for Christ, are we who we think we are? 1 John 3:17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" So I want to leave this as a challenge with you. How can God's love be in my heart if I do not respond to the needs that are directly in front of me? So give what you have. Give today. Give as you have received. And God will greatly multiply what little things that we do give. Let's kneel for prayer.